Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria.
We are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices,
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPARC and Encuentro Radio.
Welcome back to another episode of Mirrored Voices here on Encuentro Radio, the online radio station for CEPALC. My name is Hannah, and I'm here with Michelle and Mariana, as always. How are you both doing?
I'm good. I have the opportunity to rest mm-hmm. in a way for the
rest?
University.
Yeah, you are currently still working on other things.
And actually, I have homework and I have things to do. Mm-hmm. But I'm okay. I'm trying to rest, obviously, take time with the little baby of my family.
Oh, yeah.
So yesterday that I have to have a meeting with my friends for a homework, she go and was like the distraction for me in the afternoon. But in a moment, she was like crying all the time. So she took my computer and started sewing videos. Was like, okay, I can sew videos with you. But everything's okay.
Cute.
And how are you doing, Michelle?
I'm the happiest woman in the world because my husband is in the same city as me, same location as me. I'm so happy. I cannot wait. I'm also happy to be on the program. I mean, I'd rather be preparing to go,
husband.
But, you know, yeah, but I'm happy to be here.
To help the time go quickly, we were just talking about how when you're doing a radio program, an hour flies by way faster than if you're doing, you know, other work.
True, that is so true.
For most of the schools or the people that work at schools or go to school, they have off this week. So my dog Choco was super excited that Andres is home today and that she's not alone.
Thank you.
So she's very sweet.
That is nice. I was actually talking to my hairdresser yesterday, and then she was telling me that, because I was telling her that I want to adopt a cat. Like, the only mother I want to be is a cat mother. And then she was telling me it's actually a good idea to have two cats, because if you're someone who works during the day and you're not home, like, the cat can get sad and lonely. But if it has, like, someone to play with, it can be...
But so depends. I have two cats, and my cat, the boy, don't like the girl, and he hates. So he prefer be just in my room, and she asleep to like so close to him. Mm-hmm. But he is like no. So I maybe can work, but not all the cases work like that. Yeah, in my case, my two cats don't like them in any way.
Yeah, I think I got lucky adopting Choco. She's very relaxed. Occasionally, she'll get into some trouble at home. But usually, she's very juiciosa, very, you know, well-behaved.
Yeah.
She's a good girl. So today, we are talking about the International Day of the Girl Child, which is on Friday, on October 11th.
Yeah.
A little bit about what that day means, about what's going on. In terms of the situation for girls and young women in Colombia and around the world. I think we'll jump right into it, since the time does usually go pretty fast on radio.
Yeah.
So October 11th is, like I said, the International Day of the Girl or the Girl Child. And this year's theme that the UN has put out or is promoting is Girls' Vision for the Future. So they say, today's generation of girls is disproportionately affected by global crises of climate, conflict, poverty, and pushback on hard-won gains for human rights and gender equality. Too many girls are still denied their rights, restricting their choices and limiting their futures. And this is from the UN website for the special day. You can find it pretty easily on UN.org. And they have a few facts and information. Things like, for example, did you know that nearly 1 in 5 girls are still not completing lower secondary levels of education, and nearly 4 in 10 girls are not completing upper secondary school today? Or things like, around 90% of adolescent girls and young women do not use the internet in low-income countries, while their male peers are twice as likely to be online. So why is that important? Because access to information, access to the internet, is a lot of things, and there are good things and bad things to the internet, but I think it's also really important tool for education, for learning, to having access to that information. Globally, girls aged 5 to 14 years old spend 160 million more hours every day on unpaid care and domestic work than boys of the same age. Especially if you're like the oldest daughter in your family, you end up getting a lot of the responsibilities basically of being a second mom to your younger siblings, depending on how big of an age difference there is. But often that's the kind of responsibility that falls more on daughters than sons. And nearly 1 in 4 married or partnered adolescent girls are aged 15 to 19, have experienced physical or sexual violence from an intimate partner at least once in their lifetime. There are a lot of other resources that you can find on the UN website on the situation of girls today. And I think this is kind of it's interesting, the theme for a vision for the future, because I noticed lately in the news, it seems like a lot of us are going backwards. In my country, for example, the like regression of reproductive rights, of having people fought so hard for so long to get like abortion access, and now it's disappeared. You know, it's fighting so hard, and then things get taken away much easier and much faster. It kind of puts into question of like, okay, what kind of future are we leaving for these girls who are growing up in this world? Is it better than the ones that their mothers and grandmothers had growing up? We also saw how girls' access to education suffered in the wake of the pandemic. In terms of, you know, in these times of crises like pandemics, natural disasters, wars, which there are a lot currently in the world, girls' rights tend to be sacrificed pretty easily, of saying, no, we have to, you know, we have to keep them home, or things that seem, like I said, like, you know, you work so hard throughout history to gain, and then as soon as there is, like, a time of crisis, like, okay, we can forget about that now because we have other things to worry about, which is a danger because then we go backwards.
True, but then even though it's, like, negative thing, I still feel like countries like your own have a certain advantage because they're already people who are fighting for these rights.
Yeah.
Whereas in countries like mine, these things are never talked about. There's no conversation about that. It's actually very sad that we only get to learn about our rights and like how to advocate for rights after leaving our country, like we're doing it in other countries, not our own.
Yeah.
And it's a very sad situation.
Which then also you have, like, you know, the people who are privileged enough to leave the country and to be able to learn about that, as the people who don't have that opportunity to travel as much and never get access to that information that they need, that everyone has a right to.
Yeah, but actually there's, like, country that all the time is teaching the people that the women don't have rights, like Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like so difficult trying to other people like them, like these women and girls trying to travel, even they can speak in the street. And if they're like talking so loud in their house, the police can come out and take you to go to the jail. So it's like there's like different perspective about the girls. Obviously, here, well, we are in a big city like Bogota, but in other part of Colombia, there's a lot of women and girls that never go to a school because the family believe that you need to stay in the house and trying to help your husband.
Yeah, we see the experience of not only women, but starting in childhood, how different it is depending on where they grow up, which shouldn't be the determining factor of how many rights you have. Obviously, ideally, we should all have rights around the world no matter where you are, but we see the reality of that is a lot more challenging. I came across some news recently that in the U.S., according to the Census Bureau, for the first time in 20 years, the gender pay gap has widened. So talking about kind of going in the wrong direction. So they found that among people who work full-time and year-round, men's wages went up 3%, while women's increased only 1.5%. So they did increase, but not as much as men, meaning that gap between how much men earn and women earn got a little bit bigger, which was the first time in 20 years, since about 2003, that there's been a statistically significant increase. Because for the past 40 years, it's been very, very slowly narrowing, you know, getting closer together. But they found that this year, or last year, I guess, it was kind of going in the wrong direction. And there are, whenever news like that comes out, people say, well, women are more likely to work in healthcare and education and fields whose wages have not grown as much, whereas manufacturing jobs, mostly held by men, have gone up. And some people try to justify this as occupational segregation, saying, no, it has nothing to do with gender. It's just the types of jobs. Important to recognize that if it disproportionately affects gender, you know, I think we need to, you know, have a little criticism about those kinds of comments. And all of these things mean that the future and vision for girls is not guaranteed. Each generation has to continue working towards promoting girls' rights, promoting women's rights, protecting the rights that are recognized in your country to make sure that they don't go backwards, and to fight for even more protection and more rights, so that the girls' vision for the future, which is the theme for this year, can be a brighter one, a more positive one, and not, you know, moving backwards in the world.
Agreed.
So with that, I think we'll go to a quick song break, and we'll be right back to continue talking about girls. And we're back here on Mirrored Voices for the International Day of the Girl with maybe a little more focus on regionally here in Colombia, here in Bogota, what this day means.
So we are going to start talking about Colombia. So in Colombia, we talk that the girls suffer psychological and physical violence being the main victims of sexual violence. According to the UN, one in five women and girls between 15 and 49 years old report having suffered sexual or physical violence at the hands of an intimate partner in a 12-month period. So, obviously, the district secretary of Four Women's trying to talk how we can change this, but it's difficult because actually here in Colombia we don't have like a justice for this case. So, they trying to set more in the woman that they like put, like go to the, that the men go to the jail, but that's not happened in most of the case, it's just one of them. So, the girls or the secretary trying to invite that the older people learn more about the purpose of this commemoration. So, the last year, in October 7, in the district planetarium, the district trying to organize that more than 200 girls enjoy a day full of art stories and scientific experiment and a discussion that allowed them to visualize important contribution of Colombia women in art, science and technology. It's like a great motivation for them to continue advancing towards the dreams and the life project that they have. Obviously, it's like so important that they understand how it's important that the men and the boys understand why is this day. Obviously, we have the, well, I guess Children's Day, Día del Niño.
Yeah.
But, and also they understand that the men and the boy and the girls like live different situation in the life because we know that in a lot of case is the girl that they need to take care about the, maybe the brothers and all these things. So that was the idea for last year. Right now, I don't know if they're gonna do something in this year of October. I don't know anything, but it's like a good experience for the girls that have the opportunity to know more about these days because you never listen so much for this, and it's like so difficult right now because one of girl that have 12 years old is disappeared maybe for 11 days in Valle del Cauca in Candelaria, so it's like. How you're gonna commemorate a day if the girls continue like being raped in the street and more here in Colombia, and like taking like a case that was like so important and big here in Bogota, that was Juliana Zamboni, that for a moment the like lawyer for Rafael Noguera, Uribe Noguera, trying to use the mental health to say that he was not in like good in that moment when he take the girl and rape the girl. But yeah, it's like it's an important day, but you can stop talking about the violence that the girls continue suffering in not just in the street, in the school, because there's a lot of teacher that like take the little girls, maybe the girls that not talk so much and not be like so brave to talk about the situation. So yeah, it's like trying to be careful with the girls, obviously, because in any moment you can found like a difficult situation, not just in the street and in the school, also in the family. And that's everything. It's like continue helping. We hope that this day, maybe Friday, how we are the, like the week rest, maybe the districts do something, but right now I don't saw anything about it. So we are waiting, maybe if appears something the next week, talk a little bit.
Yeah, I hope. I mean, the day is Friday. Obviously, yeah. These are things that we can and should be talking about throughout the entire year.
Yeah.
But all of these UN days are really meant to be awareness days of, like, I mean, in some ways we can celebrate, but also especially with the idea of recognizing these are issues that happen all over the world that we need to be addressing. So
yeah.
By putting a specific date on it, and trying to plan events or campaigns or things around these days as trying to help, you know, start conversations
yeah.
that are long overdue, that can hopefully lead to some change. But I don't know if I remember hearing about, maybe a little bit vaguely hearing about this day, like when I was a girl, when I was a kid in school. I don't know if either of you have heard of this day before, like when you were younger, if this was something that people talked about, were there activities in school, was there anything specifically for girls and girls' rights?
In my case, no. I don't have, like, any memory that someone talked about that.
Hmm.
In my case, I really don't remember if it was celebrations specifically on that day, but we do have an organization called Girl Child Network, which specializes in the girl child, the rights, like, educating young girls. But I don't, like, they would visit us, like, in schools, I think, even when I was, like, in primary, like, 10 years old-ish, thereabout. But I don't remember if it was on that specific day or it was just, like, a thing for the organization.
But maybe something. Yeah, I don't quite remember, like, specifically, like, a certain memory that sticks out.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of knew that it existed. Maybe. But these are all signs that, like, we should be working more because, obviously, especially with sexual violence starting at such a young age and intimate partner violence starting, you know, in adolescent years, you know, those are things, obviously, that disproportionately affect girls who are still growing up, who are still maturing and need more protection, need more guidance, need more safety measures in
yeah.
place for them.
Actually, I maybe like 5 years ago, 5 years, 5 days, sorry, I listened, I obviously saw the news on appear like a conversation for a person that be part of the, how do you say, ejército?
The army?
Yeah, the army. And he's telling the little girl that was your fault that I raped you because you was like all the time with you like pants and all was your fault, and the girl have like 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all the time trying to say that the woman and the girl have the fault for all the things
mm-hmm.
that happened.
Yeah. I think we'll go to another quick song and we'll be right back for another example of girls leadership and an example of what girls are capable of doing to make this world better.
Woke up feeling like I just might run for president, even if there ain't no precedent. Switching up the messaging, I'm about to add a little estrogen. Buy my whip by myself, pay my rent by myself. Only exes that I care about are in my fucking chromosomes. Yeah, yeah, buy my whip, buy myself, pay my rent, buy myself.
saw something recently online talking this like criticism of, you always hear, oh, girls mature faster than boys, being used to justify boys' immaturity and their behavior, and not to justify giving girls more leadership opportunities and to like give them more responsibility that's outside of like caring for the home or their siblings.
I know. We actually, there's like some sort of follow-up to that logic in my country where like people say, if someone wants to get married like a woman, like for example, I'm 27, I have to marry a man who's like 35 because we mature faster than men. So if I get married to someone of my age, it'll probably raise problems in the marriage. And I'm like,
oh yeah, or if
that, does that really
if you're
sense?
Older than your husband, then it's like, oof, it's strange. And yet there are, you know, teenage girls dating men in their 20s, and that's like, oh, that's okay,
normal.
That's normal.
Yeah, and actually here appears so much when you are in the high school that, in my case, no, no thank you. But my friends have, like, boyfriends so old, and they go in the motorcycle, and was like, oh, no, thank you. But yeah, he's good. I was like, I'm not saying if he's good or no, but he's so old for my friend.
As you get older, age difference doesn't matter as much, but when it's like you're still an adolescent and someone else is in a very different stage in life, then I think it can feel icky. I don't know. It feels uncomfortable. But speaking of girls in leadership, girls who, you know, yes, girls mature faster than boys, but that should be a reason to follow their leadership, to use them as examples. We have a prime example of a powerful, intelligent leader from a young age that Michelle has to share with us.
Yes, so whilst I was doing some research for another program here at Sapalk, I came across this young woman who sparked my interest. Her name is Malala Yousafzai. So she was born in July 1997, which means she's my age, she's 27. And then her story is, she began advocating for girls' education at the age of 11. Hannah, what were you doing when you were 11 years old?
I was at school. Fortunately, I had that privilege, or that right was recognized. But I don't think I was, you know, vocal about fighting for other people's rights as well.
Mariana, do you remember doing something like a protest or something at the age of 11?
Maybe no. I'm not sure. But at 11, I guess I was entered to high school.
Yeah.
But no, everything's cold. Later, no, but in that time, yes.
Which was surprising for me, because at the age of 11, Malala had began advocating for girls' education. She even wrote a blog for the BBC about her life under Taliban rule and the challenges of getting an education in her country. She also spoke out against the Taliban on girls' education. By the way, I forgot to mention, she's from Pakistan, hence the Taliban. And then after she spoke out against the Taliban, one day when she was coming back home from school, in a bus, there was a man who was masked, and then he was asking, who's Malala, who's Malala? And then when people identified her, she was shot. And then after she was shot in the head, but she survived. And then she was transferred to England for treatment. And then thank God that she recovered, and then she got back to her regular self, but she never stopped fighting for the rights of the women in her country, for the young girls. And then she also continued her education in the UK. After recovering from the assassination attempt, she graduated in Oxford. And then she co-founded the Malala Fund to support girls' education globally. And her fund sponsors young women from Nigeria and other parts of Africa, which I'm forgetting for now. but she has like this global reach after people listened to her story, and also through her fund, which is doing a lot of amazing things for education for young girls. And then she also wrote a book, I Am Malala, which also contributed to her fame worldwide. And then she also she won some awards, like the Nobel Peace Prize. And then she also was invited to talk at some events of the United Nations, and she also got a prize for that, for a human rights prize. And then she also got the Amnesty International's Ambassador Conscience Award. So basically, for someone who's 27 years old now, hearing about her, learning about her, and for more information, she even has like a website which has a link to her donation fund page, and then more information about her journey and the things that she passed through, and the future that she hopes for the young girls and the coming generations, in the present and coming generations. But what interested me was she started all this at the age of 11.
Yeah.
And then I remember I was reading another article where she was saying she was like the only child, and thank God for her. Her father wanted her to get like the best in life. So even when at the age of 11, when the Taliban said young girls are no longer allowed to study or come to school, like they should stop right there and then, and when she had to say goodbye to her friends, her father still found ways to make sure that she got the education that she needed in order to progress in life. So yeah, that's all I had to share on Malala. I don't know if you guys have opinions or comments in regards to that.
Yeah, I think 11 years old is really impressive to start like such an activist journey, or to be able to think beyond yourself in that way. I think as kids, we're not as like aware of what else is going on in the world. So to be able to do that and to stand up, I think is probably also a good sign of her parents and the education they gave her, and the encouragement not to just like shut down her ideas, even though they were kind of crazy considering the dangerous political climate.
They were actually very bold.
Yeah,
those bold of her, because I can imagine you're 11 year old and you're in a country that is facing so many things like that. Probably that is not the first thing that you'd be thinking about, that I want to fight for girls' rights. Why should boys go to school and we should be locked indoors and not be doing anything? That was so, I don't know, it's amazing, really.
Yeah, and actually she have the support of her parents, because actually there's like a lot of girls that not have the opportunity to go to a school, actually because the parent not want that she go to a school. And the history of Malala is so amazing, because she is trying to be like an inspiration for the girls, but actually it's so sad listen the notice about Afghanistan and what's going on with the girls and what's going on with the women, because actually in Afghanistan the women can and the girls can go to the school. And it's like there's a lot of teachers that is trying to teach this girl, but it's like so quiet, and it's a secret, because if the Taliban know that, it's probably that this teacher going to jail.
True, and I feel like the parents are also brave, because she was shot in the head. She could have died. Like, in some cases, people would take it like as a warning, like it's like getting a second chance in life, but they still managed to support her regardless, even after that terrible incident.
And can you imagine, like, this terrorist regime so threatened by a little girl who speaks up about women's education, you know, like how fragile that is, how threatening it is when women like realize that they have rights and defend them, is a big threat, is seen as a big threat to those machista powers and a threat to their control. Because if you don't let girls have an access to education, they're much less likely to challenge you and to threaten your control and all those things. It also reminds me, speaking of Afghanistan and education, I recently read a book called El Secreto de Mi Turbante. I mean, literally in English, it would be My Turban's Secret, but I don't know if the book exists in an English version or not. Okay. I haven't found it, but it's in Spanish from Agnes Walker and Nadia Ghulam. Nadia from Afghanistan, and she talks about how under this terrorist regime, she had to kind of take on the identity of her late brother in order to go to school, in order to work, to support her family, because when her brother died, you know, her and her mom and her sisters and her father was not in a good mental state to be able to really support the family. So having to kind of pretend to be a boy in order to support her family. Very interesting book, and talking about that identity of, like, you know, having to pretend to be a boy, but still identifying as a girl. And, you know, it's a very powerful book. I really enjoyed it. Again, El Secreto de Mi Turbante, if you are interested in reading it. I believe it only, at least at the moment, is in Spanish, but a very interesting read, talking about girls' rights and girls' access to live, to education, but also just to live freely.
It is a tricky situation, because I can imagine if someone was to do that and then someone were to find out that she was a woman, she could have died for that. Like,
yeah, and then towards the end of the book, she talks about, like, it came to a time where, in order to get the support that she needed and to be able to, like, get out, she kind of needed to go back and start using her female name, and that kind of shift and the fear of, like, but if people find out, but someone, I forget who in the book was saying, you know, when you graduate, make sure your diploma's in your name, not your, you know, brother's name, not your fake name. But the importance of having some of these things in your name as a girl is really important.
It's a tricky situation. Yeah. It's very sad to know that there are people who are going to those extremes just to take back their rights.
And it also shows why it's important for men to also be part of these conversations, because often it's like, oh, well, her dad let her study, or, like, her dad decided to do something different with his daughters than was necessarily culturally the norm. Like, when it comes to female genital mutilation and things like that, a lot of these decisions are often made by the male, you know, the man of the family. So the importance that men also participate in these conversations about girls' rights, about women's rights, so that they can make conscious decisions. Obviously, I think we also need to move towards not just the default man is the one that makes the decision in the family, but we can take steps towards that, so that they at least make conscious decisions that can help protect and benefit their daughters, as opposed to setting them back.
Yeah, and actually it's, like, important, because the boys have the opportunity to know more about the girls' right and all these things, but also can understand and learn more about the emotions, because it's more common for the men that they can talk about the emotion, the feelings, and all these things. And we have, like, that opportunity with our friends, with our family, that talk about the feeling, how are you, and all these things. But the men, it's, like, not that possibility. So it's, like, good that they be in this conversation to understand more about the rights for the woman, but also can understand that they can feel emotional, they can feel sad, they can cry, and all these things that maybe we talk more, like, more with your friends and with your family than the men's do.
So I think we'll go to a song quickly before we have to say goodbye and sign off for today's program. But first, we'll go to some girl power with the Cheetah Girls.
Oh,
'cause it's been a long time since I've heard that song.
I don't even know that song.
Me too. You don't worry, Michelle.
Well, I guess I am a few years older than both of you. From the Cheetah Girls. But anyway, we are coming to the end of our program today. Any final thoughts that you want to share about girls, about International Day of the Girl?
I want to recommend two movies. Mm-hmm. One of them is Moxie, appear in Netflix, about the feminist, that it's so good. And the other one is Talentos Ocultos, I don't know the name in English, mm-hmm. but also talk about the black women and all these things and the rights, and it's so good. I recommend these two movies.
Great, thank you. And how about you, Michelle? Any comments or recommendations?
I was actually thinking about this Netflix short series that I recently watched called Madam C.J. Walker, mm-hmm. and I thought it was very interesting because it touches the black women, women of color in the United States, entrepreneurs, and the different complex relationships that are within the community of black women. And I thought it could be interesting for this specific topic that we're having today, because there's a part where Madam C.J. Walker, her daughter, wanted to do other things with her life, but her mom was like, no, you have to get married, you have to find a man, and stuff like that. So, yeah. And I would also like to say that after listening to Malala's story, that it is important for us to also teach the younger generation that they have rights, that mm-hmm. they can fight for their rights, that they be aware of the rights that they have, not to wait until they're like a certain age, maybe mm-hmm. over 20 or something like that, for fear of thinking maybe their minds are too young to process all this. But instead, the example of Malala shows us that there's no such thing as early timing.
Yeah, you never be too young to acknowledge your rights.
Yeah.
And I think these are all important things to keep in mind. Here on Mirrored Voices, we often talk about intersectionalism, and recognizing that, you know, within talking about women's rights, girls and children are especially vulnerable, because children often don't have a voice. They're not mm-hmm. considered, you know, full people yet, or True. They're, you know, under the control of their parents, but acknowledging that they still have rights. And as, you know, you were bringing up too, within that, within those, like, intersections, there's also having to consider black girls, migrant girls, you know, mm-hmm. girls that are additionally marginalized because of another identity that they have. And how can we make sure to do everything we can so that they can live a full, happy life with all of the rights that they need, that they deserve, and to support them in those adventures. We, little by little, we keep going. There's a lot of work to be done, as we've talked about. But hopefully these are things that you can talk about, you can consider, start conversations this year for October 11th for the International Day of the Girl Child, but also, you know, throughout life. Throughout the year, to think about girls of all kinds. And so with that, thank you so much for joining us on today's program.
Thank you.
I won't be here next week, but hopefully Michelle and Mariana can still hold down the fort and do an amazing program without me. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, we're going to miss you.
I'll miss you too.
Definitely.
I'll miss you too. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye.
timely. Voice of the future, speak to me kindly. Ask for what I want, and somehow it find me. Somehow it find me. Somehow it find me.